Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, your weekly pod to help you save and make more money. My name is Michelle Baltazar, Editor-in-Chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. A quick thank you as well to all our listeners who send me emails about the Aged Care podcast. Thank you so much. I'm glad that it was useful to you. And we will be doing more of those and answer the questions that you've sent to me via email. So today we've got another exciting episode where we dive into the world of investing across generations. We will reveal the secrets of each generation. To begin with, we'll explore how a baby boomer would have built their wealth in the 1970s through their share portfolio, and then compare it to how a Gen X, a Gen Z, or a millennial would be investing their money today, with the view of answering the question, how should you invest in 2024? So let me give you a couple of numbers just first to get your mind looking into the future. If you invested $100 in the S&P 500, which is the index representing U.S. equities at the beginning of 1970, then you would have about $27,000 today, assuming you reinvested all these dividends. So $100 to like almost $30,000. That is a return on investment of 27,000%. Very easy maths, right? But you're really looking at 10.8% per year. Now, I know that everyone thinks, well, Michelle, how does it compare if you look at the inflation? You're really looking at now 6.68% per year adjusted for inflation. So that's the number. So we want to make sure that we're looking at investment returns that beat inflation. And guess what? The answer is, if you just put in money into the stock market over the long term, then you will see those returns come through. Now, to help us answer the question, how would you invest in 2024? I'm joined by Craig Keery, Chief Executive of Self Wealth, a low-cost trading platform with over 128,000 active investors and more than 59 million traded daily as of March 2024 figures. Craig, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really great to be back, and it's really great to share some insights on some of the trends that we're seeing in the market.
Yes, I mean, 120,000 investors is no joke. So we're really kind of keen to know, what are the secrets? How are people investing and trading today? So let's first look at the, walk me through your numbers or maybe stats around the different generations and how they invest.
Look, this is a really fascinating sort of piece of data that we have. And we're really, really privileged to have our customers across all the generations, whether it's baby boomers, Generation X, millennials, or Generation Z. If I maybe just start with baby boomers, one of the things that we've certainly observed is that baby boomers generally had a very strong, their trading volumes in FY24, in the financial year 24, were very much skewed towards blue chip Australian equities or Australian shares. So they invested in BHP, the banks, Macquarie, ANZ, Westpac, CBA, CSL, and Telstra. So a very strong bias by the baby boomers to really focusing on those blue chip, well-known Australian shares, probably to some extent the brands that they can relate to, you know, probably grown up with. If I then go to Generation X, Generation X, you could start to see a trend where they're first of all starting to consider ETFs. So a very, yes, they've invested in blue chip Australian shares, but they've also started to trade ETFs, in particular Australian shares ETFs. So that's showing a very much of a strong mindset around diversification. They've also looked at international ETFs, so international share ETFs by the well-known brands. And they've started to consider other US equities directly. So they're looking at, stocks such as NVIDIA and Tesla. So you can start to see Generation X focusing on the blue chip Australian share brands, but they're now moving into ETFs as well as with a bit of a mindset on the US. If I then really go to the millennials have really started to also very much focus on ETFs, and they've also showing a strong interest in overseas shares or international shares. So, you know, the millennials are starting to focus on, are very much focused on those US equities as well. And then if I move across Generation Z, they've really are the cohort that has got the greatest focus on exchange-traded funds. And those exchange-traded funds are funds that might be a diversified portfolio around Australian shares or a diversified portfolio around international shares, or actually the S&P 500 ETF that you mentioned at the start. So you can really see different patterns across the generations. And I think if I look at that, there's a number of drivers that I'm happy to explore as to what I think is driving that different pattern of behavior.
First of all, let me congratulate you for like covering the way people invest across four generations in under 60 seconds. Well done, Craig.
Thank you. I sometimes, it's hard to believe that there's all these different generations. And then you've got to also remember what the various age cohorts are.
Yeah. I mean, with the banking stocks, I mean, we as a nation love our dividends, right? But it is interesting to see that given a gap of 30, 40 years, you have a cohort of investors who invested directly into those companies. And now fast forward to today with technology, this generation, the Gen Z, or even anyone who's investing for the first time today are now looking at ETFs or exchange traded funds. Someone said to me earlier, oh, you know, Michelle, passive is massive, you know, passive investments or ETFs. And I'm like, such a nice ring to it. But the numbers do reflect that. Now, I want to ask you a question, but you have to answer this at the end of the episode. You did not mention crypto ETFs there. I know cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, a lot of conversation around that. So I want to ask you later, which of the different generation invest heavily in cryptocurrency? And you as a listener, I want you to take a guess, and then Craig will come back with the answer to that. Okay, S&P 500, I mentioned 100 to 30,000. It's great to hear that the Gen Z are looking into the S&P 500. It looks like we're just kind of riding the wave of the market. But now onto the second question. So what do you think is driving those kind of preferences?
Look, it's a really great question, and it's a hypothesis that I've got, but also it's to some extent backed up by the data. If I think about the baby boomers are really investing in and trading the stocks that they've got a strong brand connection with, and I think that I don't think you can underestimate that. I think if you've been somebody that's sort of grown up for a number of years and started to invest, it is really that brand connection that you have, and how that's sort of reflecting your biases. I think you can then see the Generation X being more open to what's happening internationally, and then more open to, you know, looking at international equities and in particular US equities as providing sort of some options for them to consider as part of their portfolio, because they're brands that they're now starting to be associated with, such as brands like Nvidia, brands like Tesla. They've got a connection with that. And then if I sort of move down into the millennials, you've still got that trend for, you know, trading in international equity, sorry, US equities, but you're starting to also, they've grown up with a lot of education that's happened over a number of years on diversification of investing strategies. So that's where you're starting to see ETFs coming into play, I think, in a greater way. And then if I move down to the Generation Z, these are typically, which I'm really pleased to see that they're focused on ETFs. They've really sort of understand this. You can see that they're understanding the benefit of diversification. They've got a global mindset, which is why they're preferencing yes, Australian shares ETFs, but also international share ETFs. And they could be my old favorite that I love to talk about. They could be that Generation Z investor could be doing dollar cost averaging to accumulate their wealth, which I really hope they are, because we know that that is a strategy that if they continue to save on a monthly basis, it will, you know, it's proven to be to lead to a nice healthy return.
It's such a joy to watch. I'm like looking at all these young investors in their 20s, understanding that they can make money through the share market. I mean, when I was in my 20s, which was not that long time ago, Craig, it was maybe several years ago, no one really said, Michelle, you can just look at a basket of stocks. You don't have to try and, you know, understand how each of those companies perform. You just want exposure to the market. All right. We talked about brand loyalty for baby boomers, and that's worked out really well for them. But the tide is turning. So according to some stats, there's something like 500 Aussies retiring every day in the next 5 years, something crazy like that. Their money is still invested in the stock market, but maybe they're trying to shift gears. Maybe they're listening to their you know, family members who say, look at ETFs, look at other trends. You've pointed out, you know, NVIDIA, for example. So any kind of shifting of gears right now?
It's a fascinating time, and we haven't seen this. We haven't seen such a cohort of cohort of investors, if you take into account their superannuation as well as their non-super wealth, that are starting to reach what I would call retirement age, then starting to think about what they do. I'm going to be a really keen observer around this, but I suspect you will start to see the boomers move from being invested in what I would call a stock portfolio to probably a portfolio that's more focused on income, as they're looking to enjoy the later years of their life. How do they take, you know, a bit of the work that they're doing out of the equation? And I suspect you will start to see that shift into diversified portfolios with a bias around income. Having said that, what we're also seeing is people aren't retiring. They might do the part-time retirement process, and that might still, your normal investment theory is that they'll move to income. They might actually keep a bit in income, but still keep a bit in growth. I think this has got to play out, and I'm going to be a really keen observer of this over the next 5 years.
Absolutely. I mean, this whole thing about income and growth, but if you're in your 60s, research shows that you'll be investing well into your 90s even. So Right. You're looking still at a very long 30-year timeline to invest. So maybe even at 60, you want to still invest in growth stocks. But just for our listeners out there going, guys, what are you talking about? Why are you making such a big deal about this? Well, it's the classic supply and demand. If you have more money shifting into a group of stocks, whether it's income, then even if you are a Gen Z investing in a growth stock, that supply and demand will still impact your returns. So now, very quickly, before I ask the question about cryptos, name the three top trends that you think our listeners should look out for.
I think the first trend is the continued focus on exchange-traded funds. I think we're seeing this real understanding by the investing public across all generations to look at diversification, and ETFs are clearly going to be an area where where people will continue to invest. I think focusing on that is the first trend. The second trend is the move to income, and what does a retirement look like? This has got a long way to play out, and how that impacts the types of instruments that people will invest in, as well as the strategies that they will employ. And the third one, I think, is the increasing focus on investors looking to go and invest in international markets. You've seen that particularly with the younger generations focusing on the US. That's been really, really encouraging to see. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that focus because they're investing in brands that they've got a higher level of connectivity to. And the other final trend is really this focus around social responsibility and ESG. ESG is a really important topic. If I look at the investors, particularly the younger generations that we've got, that we're seeing across financial services, they're really focused on this social responsibility, investing in companies that have got a strong social purpose and that are ticking all of the various ESG principles. That is a trend that I think will continue. It's something that is embedded in a lot of investors' DNA. And I think that's going to drive a very different style of outcome as well.
Yes. So ESG stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance Stocks. It's a bit of a mouthful. All it means is that there's a lot of money going into what's called green and sustainable investments.
Yeah.
So definitely, I'm sure there's an ETF for that as well.
There is.
So now, I think you've been very helpful. Quick one on ETFs. Our November issue is on the topic of ETFs. That's our cover story, where we look at the top 20 ETFs in the market. So, Craig, and to you, our dear listener, so which generation you think invests heavily in crypto ETFs? And the answer is?
For our data up until the end of financial year 24, so up until the 30th of June 2024, none of the generations crypto featured in the top 10 securities trades.
Look at that. So it looks like we still have a bit of a debate around this, because some studies show that Australians, at least one in four Australians, are exposed to crypto investing, but clearly not of the magnitude that it's on the radar at the moment. So once again, Craig, thank you so much for your time. Look forward to our next podcast review on this 20 years from now. See how we go.
Michelle, thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to look back in 20 years and see if those predictions hold true.
Once again, thank you for sharing your insights. Craig Keary is the chief executive of Self Wealth. So look up Self Wealth. They have a lot of great content there as well on investing and other investment insights that might be useful to you. As always, you can send in any questions, comments, or even topics you'd love for us to cover on email podcast@moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.